Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Plugged Into. I'm your host, Kimmy Dixon, and I'm also the founder of Hypertribe, of which this is a production of. So this week on Plugged Into, we'll be talking to Hannah from a Trash App all about how to get your visuals as good as they can be, how to test and experiment using the application, and also talk a little bit about innovation. But before we get into that, if you're wondering how to start your journey as an artist or an artist entrepreneur, head over to our website, www.hypertribe.io. As ever, do reach out to us on Instagram at hyper_tribe and DM us. We always try to get back to as many people as possible. But for now, let's dive in to our weekly release with Hannah at Trash. Hi, Hannah. Welcome to the show. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure. And thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you today. So my background is in consumer and entertainment and frontier tech. I started my career working at a music company called Last.fm, where I led design and also PM'd many features to market, working really closely with the founders. And it was also where I cut my teeth on learning about algorithms and machine learning and specifically designing for those types of cases. And then after that, I started my own company, which I co-founded, called This Is My Jam, which was also really dearly loved by the music industry. We had a bunch of celebrities using it. And all the while during this time, I was living in London, which is where Last.fm was based, even though originally I'm from Canada. And towards the end of that time, I just felt like music was becoming a solved problem on the internet, at least for the perspective of recommendations and streaming, which is and discovery, which is primarily what I'd been working on. And video was one of my first loves. I was making video on VHS with a Hyatt camera when I was a kid, making all sorts of like home movies with my best friends across the street next door. And so that was something that I'd always been really attracted to as a medium to express myself and for others to express themselves in. And that's when I sort of started getting interested in what was next for video on the internet. And that was probably around 2014 by now. So it hadn't become mainstream yet, but it was clearly like the next big thing. And I moved to New York. I worked briefly for MTV, for Viacom. I spent some time there learning the ropes of like the old entertainment industry, which wasn't totally new to me because Last.fm had been acquired by CBS. So I had had some experience with big media companies before. Went back into startup land and worked for a company called Drip, which was like a Patreon competitor, working with a lot of really cool independent artists and record labels from like Owsla to Mad Decent to Domino. And that got acquired by Kickstarter. And then after that, I ended up going to work for Twitter, where I was the general manager at Vine. And that was really where I saw the difficulty people have making video, including myself, and got really inspired to find a way to solve that problem so that everybody could participate in this truly wonderful expressive medium.
That's awesome. And it's that combination, that unique combination as well between tech and music and also just general kind of curiosity, I guess, but understanding video that kind of brought you to this point.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have said that Trash is like a culmination of a lot of things in my career. And I think that's true. Like there's no way I would have known so many different aspects of the industry to be able to build this because it is pretty multidisciplinary between like being a science company, also being a consumer company, knowing things about AI and algorithms all the way through to like creative expression and visuals. And of course, music and audio, which is a big part of video.
Yeah, it's a very unique set of skills, that's for sure, to be able to build something like this. But I think it's fascinating because let's talk a little bit about that rise in how you kind of spotted that trend with video in music and what that kind of consisted of.
Sure. So I've always been like a huge music video fan. So I'll start there. Like I'm that person that watched music videos even when everyone else was like, yeah, music videos are dead. I just think that music videos are like the highest form of artistic expression. Honestly, like it's art and music and video and acting. Like I just can't imagine anything more rich, more tightly coupled between the concept of many artists involved to be able to pull off such a great feat of creativity. And so I've always been a fan. I've always been like that person that was like watching music videos, staying up way too late, like watching them on my phone late at night. And I think there was something that really clicked over for me when I was actually working on This Is My Jam, because the way that that product worked is we were really interested in ephemeral song sharing. And this was actually around the same time that Snapchat came to market as well. So there was definitely something in the water on ephemerality at that point. And people could share their favorite song, not just any song, but like the song they really love, to the website, and it would stay up for 7 days. And one of the ways you could do this was with a YouTube link, which was actually the primary way that people shared music, which makes sense because, of course, so many people get their music from YouTube, and it's a huge portal for music discovery. And like, as I was seeing this behavior and like watching the songs people were posting, I just got really interested in that, like, actually, this is a much better way to enjoy this than not having a video. And around the same time, phones were starting to change dramatically. So like 2012, 2013, that was around the time that everybody was making the jump from web to mobile. Everybody was putting an app in the app store. Like there were so many things that were changing, from like the speed of the phones itself, like just the actual hardware of the device, to the way that we could access data in different countries, in terms of like the, you know, the like 5G, that is. And so all of a sudden, like playing a music video on this little rectangle of glass in your hands was actually like a really compelling thing. And up until that point, it had felt like they had been a bit, music videos that is, they had been a bit like not portable, because of course we weren't watching them on the television anymore with MTV, yeah. But they'd been sort of like relegated to like my late night record hunting sessions on YouTube. It wasn't like something that was so accessible. And the minute that we could play them on our phones, like I think the world really changed. And fast forward to where we're at today, like consuming video on your phone is something that everybody does. Like,
yeah.
Now I think we're in like a golden age of music video, which is one of the reasons that we built this feature, Trash, because we saw this deep need for musicians to be able to share a video for their track, which is often a really difficult financial hurdle or otherwise for them to jump over, and saw that there was a white space to be able to help them with that.
So was that jump between, because I mean, what would stop you from that time? You're saying that videos are on the rise. What was the difference between going, actually, you know what, I'm going to set up something to do with, you know, that will incorporate AI so it's accessible to everybody, versus I'm going to create, you know, a music video company. We're going to shoot, you know, X, Y, and Z. You know, what was the key kind of moment and difference?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we're all shaped by our formative experiences. And a really cool experience that I had in my early 20s was working at Last.fm. Like, I remember at the time trying to explain to some of my designer friends what I was going to do. And like, they thought that I was crazy. They were like, you're going to go do what now? You're going to go work on a website? Like, you know, you can only use like 5 colors and like, good luck making anything look pretty. And I was like, no, you don't understand. This is actually the future. And so I've always been that type of person that was really curious about technology and really curious about what's next. And like, I almost never think about the past. That's another thing about me. I'm always thinking about what's next and the future. I sort of like live and breathe that realm. And when I was working at Last.fm, I remember like some of my early meetings with those data scientists and like the clash of cultures, and then the understanding that developed, and then the empathy that developed, and then like the incredible features that we ended up shipping because of it. But at the time, like when I was trying to explain to some of my friends living in London around like, I don't know, 2006 to 2008, that I was like working on something to use machine learning to like generate interesting content for people to watch or to listen to and also to watch, they were like, sorry, what now? Like, they were just like, I don't understand how this is even designed. Like, we're making pretty looking annual reports over here. And like, this is this new photo shoot that I did. And I was like, that's nice. But like, this is what's up. And so now, like many years later, if you Google like designing with algorithms, there's like a bazillion search results that come up and lots of people that want to talk about this and lots of people that still want to learn how to do it because it's still fairly new. Mm-hmm. But because I had that really unique formative experience, I think I never really stopped thinking that way. And even when I was working on products that weren't based in machine learning, I was always imagining in the back of my head what this would feel like if we had it. Like, it's kind of impossible not to imagine what you can create with algorithms once you know what they can do. And so I think it was just natural. Like, I didn't really skip a beat. When I was at Vine, I noticed that people were struggling to make video, like normal people, that is, not creators, obviously. And I was just kind of like, yeah, I wonder if we could do this automatically. I don't know. Computer vision is a thing. Could we like extract enough metadata so that we'd know what was in the video clip so that then we could like sequence a rough cut? It's got to be like not that much different than like extracting information from music with music information retrieval to then like generate a playlist. I mean, okay, it's different, but like, you know, the principle is similar enough. And so that was what set me off on that path to try to figure that out with my co-founder.
That's awesome. And okay, so let's get back to Trash and the kind of core features. So can you explain to someone who's never heard of Trash exactly what it is and exactly what it does?
Yeah, sure thing. So Trash is an app. You can get it in the App Store. And what we do is we help you make videos really easily on your phone with one tap. So you can grab a few video clips, hit one button, and we'll create a rough cut for you so that then you can dive in. And because you're the storyteller, you can make the final decisions about how you want the video to look. And we just make it super easy to make videos on the fly. And also, we do them in a really artistic kind of way. Some people say they're really vibey. Other people say they look like dreams, which I think is really cool. And you can also check them out. Just download the Trash app and flip through some of the videos in the GOAT channel, The Greatest of All Trash, to check out some of the things people are making.
Yeah, and you've also got the Trash magazine as well, haven't you? The blog, and it has some features of designers also using the application. So it's great for music artists, but it's not limited to, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. I'd say that our early community actually feels a lot like kind of like the early days even of like Tumblr or MySpace, in the sense that our community is super creative. So there's people using it who are musicians, who are designers, artists, photographers is a big category. But there's also people using it that are just enjoying making video. You don't have to be a professional creative to use Trash. I think that's like a really important thing to point out. Like, a big part of why we built this was to make it easier and also to allow people who might not feel like they can participate in the medium of video to be able to have a voice in it.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And the reason why I really specifically wanted to talk to you about this was because we're massively about building the artist entrepreneur. So being able to build an artist as a business, as opposed to, you know, just a creator. So they actually kind of own everything that they're doing. They can actually, you know, create content and be able to understand that they can, you know, put things out in their business, such as social channels and so on, and build a brand. And Trash just feeds straight into that, doesn't it?
Yeah, actually, that's like a big part of why we built it. So when I was working at Drip, I had the pleasure of speaking to a lot of artists and managers and label people about the types of things that they needed in music at the time. And I remember one conversation in particular with this label manager in Brooklyn. And he was like, look, we don't need any more platforms. Like, I don't need any more places to put stuff. This is already hard enough. Like, we already have to generate so many assets for YouTube and Spotify and this and that, and rattled off all these different places. And he was like, what I really need is tools. I need things that help me make my job faster, because there's so much to keep up with. And I think that anybody listening who knows the breadth of work that is required to like put on an album, for example, understands this pain, especially if you're doing it yourself, because it doesn't end at the recording, of course. Like, finally, after you get all of that work done to have the final track that you want to share, there's then like the album art and the video and like all of the visual assets and all of these different places where you need to put creative. And that can be really overwhelming for people, I think. So we really wanted to help with that problem. And it was that like user experience research interview, I guess you could say, that, I don't know, like flicked over something in my brain around doing this.
That's cool. And how can people find everything out about Trash and where can they download it?
Sure. So you can get everything you need at trash.app. And from there, you can download the app. There's Trash for Artists is linked on that site as well. So you can get there. And Trash for Artists is where you can sign up as an independent musician. If you own your own publishing, you're welcome to sign up and share your tracks with the Trash community, as well as use them to make your own music videos, which is pretty cool. And all of those music videos as well go into a specific channel on Trash so that everybody in the community can enjoy them. So they get front row.
Fantastic. And let's talk a little bit about that community side of things, because I think that's really important because you can collaborate, right? And be able to plug into other people's things. So can you explain a little bit about that?
Sure. So the tools for collaboration today are still in their infancy, but you can remix other people's videos. And the reason that we did this is because we know that collaboration is just like a huge part of video. When you think about the number of people, for example, involved in a feature film, it's really likely that you're going to want to collaborate with a friend. And so we actually have something running right now with a really cool artist, Delo, who's a Grammy-nominated songwriter, and his tracks are in Trash in the Delo channel. And he's actually inviting his fans to use that video and remix it and make their own creations to see how people finish his music video for him.
Yeah, that's a great fan engagement tool. It's a way in which you can create content as well. And things like remixes, it always helps, doesn't it? To be able to have a visual to go along with it. It's much more engaging.
Yeah, and it's so cool too to see who does it and like the other artists that get involved. So we've also done a little bit of work with an artist named Cece, who's really cool. You should check her out as well. And she was the first artist to remix Delo, which was also just like, I don't know, really fun. And then we saw like Delo remixing Cece and it was just like super cute. And I can't wait for more of that stuff to happen.
That's awesome. Fantastic. Well, Hannah, thank you so much for coming on the show anyway and being able to have this conversation with us. I think it's so important. I don't really want to get into the future of artificial intelligence within music because I think that's definitely a rabbit hole for another day. but I am absolutely fascinated by this. And I have been following, you know, what's been coming up, new technologies. And I think Trash is awesome. It's a massive tool for artists, especially, you know, with limited resources to be able to plug into. So thanks for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thank you so much for having me. And a thought I'll leave you with on artificial intelligence is that it's never going to replace our creativity. It's only going to help us make more.
Awesome. That's an awesome quote. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Plugged Into. We'll be back next week where we'll have another guest on the show to talk about all things music. I've been your host, Kimmy Dixon, and I'm also the founder of Hypertribe. Find us over on @hyper_tribe or www.hypertribe.io. Until next time, take care and stay safe.